last year, the global pandemic became local as tourism to our area was drastically altered. Flights were down, but long-term Front Range visitors came to take advantage of wide-open spaces with high-speed internet to work remotely. For this edition of Local Motion, I spoke with four people in our listening area working in the tourism industry to take the temperature of what we can expect this season. My first interviewee is Sandy Snell-Dobert, Chief of Interpretation and Education for Black Canyon and Curacante with the National Park Service. We spoke about their experience last year and what it looks like this year. Overall, how do the prospects for tourist visitors look for this summer?
It looks very, very good, actually. We're already starting to look pretty busy, particularly at Black Canyon. Seems like May and even April, regional visitors as well as Rocky Mountain West and West license plates in the parking lot.
Would you say that the Black Canyon infrastructure is operating at pre-COVID levels to receive guests?
Not quite yet. Our visitor center, we are still operating with just people coming just inside the front door and just inside the back door for our park store. So we don't actually have the full visitor center operation going at this time. We're starting to look at what that might look like. We are available and open for the public, and we are doing the evening programs in the campgrounds, and we're doing guided walks along the rim, particularly our very popular geology program. We're also looking this summer to start back with some of our astronomy programming.
How are you getting the public messaging out about where the COVID precautionary protocol levels are for people who are visiting from another state or another country?
That's a tough one because it changes for us pretty frequently as well. We've got some messaging on our website, but I think we're relying on folks to come to us prepared to wear a mask and prepared to social distance. And we do have reminders as they come into the park as well as at the visitor center.
Last year, Colorado National Parks overall experienced a spike in visitor numbers and people seeking refuge in remote natural environments. Would you say this is true also in the Black Canyon?
I would. What we're particularly noticing is people visiting who had not visited Black Canyon before. Saw a lot of people who were coming to us not knowing exactly what the place was about. They hadn't done a lot of research in advance. It requires a lot of trip planning on our part. I think, too, a lot of people come and they're not prepared for the kind of place that Black Canyon is. I think maybe some people expect more infrastructure than we have. The Black Canyon is small and has small infrastructure. We don't have restaurants and hotels and some of the things that other national parks do have. I think that catches people by surprise a little bit.
They show up with shorts on and flip-flops.
Yes, they do. And that's fine as long as you're just visiting the viewpoints. But if you really plan to do any of the routes into the canyon or even some of the hikes on the rim, good idea to wear better shoes and be prepared. We always encourage people to plan ahead and prepare for their trip. Visit the park website, take a look at some of the options that are available, and know what it is that you want to do when you get there.
What are some of the things you did last year to stay afloat? Did you have to get creative?
We did get creative. We ended up at first starting with no visitor center operations at all. And then we gradually kind of morphed it to some desks and tables outside the visitor center, trying to maintain that social distancing, wearing masks and all of those things. Our park store got creative in bringing some items out at first, and then we started creeping back into the visitor center in terms of small spaces with limited numbers of people. In terms of just kind of talking to folks, I think we tried to pick up as much as we could into a normal operation. It did take a while, and that comfort level with where visitors are coming from, wearing masks, who isn't, all of these kinds of things continue to evolve.
Did the visitor center receive federal or state grants to help you bounce back?
No. We did maintain our staffing levels as much as we could just to keep the staff coming in, putting them on projects if they weren't doing their normal jobs. So we did get a lot of project work done. But no, we did not receive any grants. We operated on our normal annual budget.
So everything's got a fresh coat of paint?
I wish we could say that, but not quite. But it's, you know, we're sprucing things up here and there. We're adding a vault toilet. not glamorous, but adding more toilets to the parking lot at the visitor center at South Rim. We're just trying to reduce the wait time for folks who are needing those facilities. We just really encourage people to plan their trips. Be aware of local road construction, particularly on Highway 50. There are windows where the road is open, but it is closed for large amounts of time. So we encourage people to visit us50info.com in order to find the appropriate travel window for themselves.
That's a really good point. I think that's going to affect all of us throughout the season. Well, for 2 years.
Yeah, it really is.
If you just tuned in, this week on Local Motion, I'm speaking with people involved with area tourism. Kaylee Rivenberg, the marketing and tourism manager for the City of Montrose, took time out of her busy schedule to give me her perspective. Overall, how do the prospects for tourist visitors look for this summer?
We're anticipating that it's going to be another high visitation year. Last year, we actually had an increase in number of tourism. Even though our visitor center was closed, we just saw an increase in usage of public lands, campsites, recognition of in-town camping places that are fully booked, hotels that are still 90 to 100% capacity through last year, which was interesting because no one knew what was going to happen. And so we were bracing to see and make sure that we were still going to be able to come out all right. And in the end, we did really good last year. And based on conversations that we've been having in meetings and webinars with the Colorado Tourism Office, they're anticipating that with restrictions lifting, that people are going to be more inclined to actually get out and explore or return to previous places that they had gone and had good experiences with.
You track that data with the chamber, with the hotel association. How do you track that data for visitor numbers?
We're able to see it through sales tax revenue, lodging revenue, and then we just get a lot of word of mouth from local businesses. And then our DART program, the Development and Revitalization Team, they're in close contact with our local businesses here in Montrose. So we get to kind of see what they're seeing and if there's adjustments in foot traffic or online presence, which has been big for this past year. We have been able to open up for our visitor center here in Montrose. We do track how many people come in, where they're from, and what it is that they're looking for as they come into our visitor center. I believe the Museum of the Mountain West also tracks their count, as well as the Ute Indian Museum. They track their visitor count.
And when did the visitor center reopen?
The first time we reopened, I believe, was July of last year, and then we had to close again in November, right around Thanksgiving, and then we were able to open back up mid-March of this year.
Would you say that all of the Montrose County infrastructure is operating at pre-COVID levels to receive guests, the airport, car rentals, tour guides, public restrooms, etc.?
Yes. Since we have turned to green, so back to air quotes, normal, our county has been really good about being able to adapt and become what we needed to be. And even throughout COVID, they were able to make sure that we were able to get as many people in and out of Montrose, whether they live here, whether they want to visit here. And the same goes for the city. We really took after what the county was doing since they were the lead in the public health sector during COVID.
How is the tourism office getting the public messaging out about where the COVID precautionary protocol levels are for people who are visiting from another state or another country?
We have a couple of different avenues. We do not create any of that messaging ourselves because we have to follow based off of the state or based off of what the county is saying. So anytime that news comes out or there are updates, we automatically will share that on our social media channels with Visit Montrose as well as City of Montrose. So on Instagram, Facebook, and then we also have Twitter accounts with each entity. And then as people come into the visitor center, if they ask about restrictions, all of our staff and volunteers have all the background knowledge as to what is the current legislation, as well as CTO, the Colorado Tourism Office. They always update us on what they're seeing, on what communities are saying guests are asking about. They pre-prep us with some materials that we can use and print off so that we all have common messaging throughout each community throughout Montrose.
What kind of promotions is the Montrose Visitor Center participating in to bring tourists in?
We are doing Funk Fest again on June 12th, so we had to move it up this year based on scheduling conflicts, but usually we will have it in the later summer, which we'll move it back to next year. That is going to be more centered towards our community versus our usual pushing out for people to come into Montrose. That was based on scheduling conflicts and then not knowing we were able to have the event until late March, when usually we start planning for that event in January. And then we are able to do 4th of July festivities this year. And then for actual promotions, we are partnering with the local golf courses, so the Bridges, Black Canyon Golf Course, as well as Cobble Creek, on doing a fall promotion for golf. Essentially, a guest or visitor can go online, see this deal, and they would just call one of us and we would set up a time slot for a 3-day vacation, and they get to play each day at a golf course so that they can experience all the differences that we have here in Montrose, even though they're all 10 minutes drive from each other.
Was there anything that surprised you last year in terms of where guests were coming from, what their spending habits were, given that we were in the middle of the pandemic?
That's a good question. We did see a huge increase in Front Range visitation, and a lot of it, I would say in the camping realm, there was just no room at any of the campsites or RV places last year. And then up at Silverjack, I know Ridgeway and Uray, the Plateau, and even the Grand Mesa, it seemed every weekend. And we were in close touch with Ridgeway and Uray throughout the entire pandemic to make sure that we had like messaging and that we were communicating what each community was doing, so that when we talked to visitors, we were giving them the correct up-to-date information. And they said that it was amazing how many people were out here camping. It was a lot of Colorado plates, so we're able to really see that Front Range people were coming over here, and we think that having the work from home aspect from it had a great deal to why people were just getting in their RVs and coming out, because Montrose is known for the Elevate fiber, and so we have really good internet and Wi-Fi connection all around our town and even the outskirts for people to actually be able to work in a park and not have to go into the office, which I think everyone enjoyed last year.
And they were seeking the great out of doors.
That's right.
The Office of Business and Tourism also launched a unique program last year to help with local businesses with advertising.
In spite of COVID, the Office of Business and Tourism here in Montrose allocated our funds to go back into business owners. So we provided a grant program that we called the Marketing Co-op. And as long as businesses partnered with three other like entities that had a common message, they can get up to $2,000 of marketing advertising support. That way they can get the message out to the local Montrose community, in whether it be print ads or social media, radio spots. But that was something that I think was really unique about Montrose, is that we were actually able to give back funds to the community to use to boost themselves. ourselves up since our funds were essentially capped because of the COVID regulations.
Next, I spoke with Kelly Hepler, who is one of the founders and the president of Colorado Agritourism Association and the owner of graphics design and advertising in Delta. Overall, how do the prospects for tourist visitors look this summer?
AAA is expecting about 37 million people to travel for this upcoming Memorial Holiday, which is up about 60% higher than it was last year at the same time. We should expect a lot of auto traffic, and I know we have that road work happening over there on Highway 50, but I think we're still going to see quite a few visitors into the area because it's not that hard to get into Delta County, even with that road construction going on. Our scenic byways in the state of Colorado have had banner years for visitation because people, you know, they can stay in their car, they can, you know, do the curbside pickup for food. And now with the new masking guidelines, people are feeling much more comfortable traveling and being outside and doing special events and dining and things like that. So that didn't take long for people to really jump up. Here, agritourism has done extremely well also for a couple of reasons. One, it is kind of a road trip. It's an outside event, not necessarily standing real close to the farmer doing the tour. And another thing that was kind of unusual was that when the COVID virus first started hitting us, you will recall the big rush on the grocery stores. And it wasn't so much that we didn't have food, but the supplies were not coming in as quick as they normally would have because of the demand. So people were rushing to farmers and farmers markets and really wanting to see more and more about local food and buying local, as well as just learning about how do I grow my own food in my backyard. And a lot of people were starting to buy local meats as well.
Buying it on the hoof.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. And it probably hasn't let up that much. I mean, a farm or a ranch is the perfect spot to be if you're afraid of airborne virus.
Right. It's still a really good place to be. And food security became something people really looked into. Whereas before, they didn't really think that much about where their food came from, other than, well, it says it came from Chile instead of Peonia. But knowing where that food comes from, that food security is a big deal. And they want to know where their beef comes from, their pork, their tomato, all of that stuff. And they also got into homesteading. A lot of people started making their own salsas and baking. You saw the big baking frenzy going on with bread. And so people learned how to do these skills that they didn't regularly have. And some of them found that something they really like. And then they can go to the farm and have a little conversation with the farmer and the growers and learn more about how to make better bread or how do I get my tomatoes to be even better. And we certainly have a huge list of people here in this area that are really good at helping people learn more about growing and harvesting and all of that sort of stuff. That's a real plus for us here.
And would you say that Western Colorado infrastructure is back up to pre-COVID levels for visitors?
I'm going to say it's close. Yeah. Not only are the restaurants and the public places paying more attention to hygiene of that sort, people are bringing their own stuff to wipe things down with. And I do think people in general are just being more careful. If they haven't been vaccinated, they're staying away from others. You know, we all go out and we see people not wearing masks, but it's been my experience that those folks are generally either vaccinated or they stay away from you.
Yeah, the messaging is now a little bit uneven, a little bit inconsistent.
Oh, yeah. It's confusing as to what you should do. I think that if anyone is concerned, stay masked up. Just go that route.
Mm-hmm.
Another big tip that I've gotten from people is if you need to rent a car, that car rentals are hard to come by, partly because some of the big corporate Hertz and people like that sold off their fleet because they didn't have enough business. And so getting a rental car can be a problem.
Last year, Colorado National Parks experienced a spike in visitor numbers. People out on the trail and outside kind of loved some of those areas to death. Are there any considerations that you see being put into place for an overcapacity of visitors?
Yeah, this has been going on even before COVID, where there were certain places like Hanging Lake, for example, where there's just so many people there that you can't even enjoy a good experience. What we call carrying capacity of the area is just overburdened. So they've started doing some of that, getting reservations and things. Actually, this week is the hashtag Care for Colorado program that the Colorado Tourism Office put out. So if you click on hashtag Care for Colorado, they have little videos and cutesy things, fun things for kids to look at, and just gives you some tips about how to be careful, more careful in the outdoors in terms of picking up after yourself, because it is definitely an issue. Most of the bigger tourism outlets for media are doing a lot to try to send people to what we call the underused areas.
Are there any events or businesses that you're working with who are requiring proof of vaccination?
I do not have any that I'm working with directly at the moment, but it has been brought up at a number of Zoom meetings I've been involved with for tourism. You want to get your card laminated. Well, no, they're not asking you to laminate them. They want you to put them in a, when you go to a conference, you get the little plastic sleeve to put your name tag in.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have anything like that, put your card in there and do take care of it. Do watch it, because if it comes to that where they're going to require you to show proof, you want to make sure your card's in decent shape or somebody hasn't stolen it from you.
I've photographed mine and sent it to myself on email.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's an excellent idea. Yeah, I think, you know, here in our area, we've been doing agritourism long enough that the experiences are good. They're authentic. I just met with a new couple that bought Uncle Johnny's U-Pick. They have some really good ideas about what they want to do, and they just want to help people see how apple trees work and how they grow and eat fresh food, and they're a nice addition. But that need to not be so contrived, you know, a Disneyland experience is not what these travelers want. They want to get their hands dirty and pet the goat and just have a real what it's like on the farm kind of experience.
Every business in Western Colorado was impacted by last year's pandemic and subsequent lockdowns. Colorado Detours was hit hard because their tour company is predicated on loading visitors into their van for visits to archaeological sites, farms, and wineries. COVID protocols prevented that close of contact. But this year, they're back with a bang. I spoke with Joanne Giroux, co-owner of Colorado Detours, with area geologist Dave Noe. Overall, how do the prospects for a tourist season look this summer?
They look really good, Kate. We're getting calls in from all over, mostly in Colorado, but it seems that for other tour guides and people in the industry from the other Western Slope areas have been telling us that they've actually started tours in the Palisade and the Grand Junction area. We open our season, you know, here it doesn't formally open until Memorial Day, but we are looking forward to getting a lot of people to come over here.
And your business is very unique because you are packing people into a minivan. As restrictions are easing, how are you handling that for your guests?
The state still requires in any public transportation for there to be masking. However, if it is a family group or friends in a pod, then they do not have to mask unless they want to. They're not required to. If it is the general public that are going to be on the vans, just different mixing of groups, then we would have to have them mask.
And are you receiving any pushback on that or difficulty with that messaging to your potential guests?
No, it's pretty much the same way as it was last year. So it's sort of consistent. There is a freeing up in other areas of the industry to not have to do all of the compliance measures that was last year. But the masking is still going to be required on any type of public transportation, and we are public transportation.
And most of the locations that you visit are out of doors, the wineries and the geological sites.
That's correct. Yes, we do geology hikes and tours and the wineries. And last year, they were most of their wine tasting was done outside. So we'll see this year if that's going to follow suit. And most of the time, we're outdoors or in outdoor venues and then for a short time on the vans.
What collaborations and partnerships are you doing in the area this season?
Well, we're in the process right now, Kate, to talking with a lot of the other businesses and partnering and coming up with some awesome packages that we'll be presenting and rolling out. At this point, we're in conversation, so they're not solidified yet. But as soon as they are, we will let you know what will be coming out.
What were some of the things you did last year to stay afloat? Did you have to get creative?
Very creative. And a lot of that was just working with the wineries on what we could and couldn't do. But creativity and the aspect of where we were marketing to. One of the popular ones that we had last year was called our newcomers tour. It was people that were coming in the area because so many people are moving into on the Western Slope that they wanted to know a little bit about the area. And we talked about the geology, we talked about the businesses, the farms and the ranches, and we just gave them a total overview. We drove them around for usually a half a day and really got them familiar with the areas. And then from there, if they wanted to take a more detailed tour, like the geology tour or a full day wine tour, then we would put together custom tours. A lot of last year was talking with people and seeing what their needs and wants were and customizing things for them.
A little newcomer orientation.
Yeah, and a lot of the realtors sent people our way because that was gift packages for them.
Oh, that's very creative. And did Colorado Detours receive state or federal grants to help you bounce back?
We did. We did receive a few of the grants from some of the Colorado Tourism, and then it was a marketing one, and then SBA also. I think it was a loan, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Helped out. It was great.
What are you looking forward to most this season?
We're just looking forward to people riding on our vans and coming and seeing what we have to offer here. We're friendly, we're fun, and we know that they'll have a great time when they get here.
So your season coincides with the winery season.
That's correct. Our tourist season will begin on Memorial Day weekend, which coincides with the opening of the wineries in the North Fork Valley and the West Elks Wine AVA.
And those are partners that you work with all the time.
That's true. That's correct. We work with them on a regular basis in bringing our tours there in our vans, a half-day wine tour or a full-day wine tour there. So we are there almost daily until the closing of that, which is usually the end of October or the 1st of November.
And they can drink wine and don't have to drive.
And they don't have to drive. They can just leave it up to us to do all the driving. And they love that. So one of the other things, Kate, that we're finding that people are calling a lot about is weddings. So people are starting to have weddings over in this area. We're able to help them out with that and bringing them back and forth to the wedding events and making it an event in itself. And we love just having the ability to talk about the area because it's such an amazing place here.
Are you attracting any international visitors?
We have not been attracting any international at this point. We think it may be coming, but once all of this lifts up from the COVID pandemic situation, I think we'll be starting to see a lot of Europeans come back here because I have heard of that in the past, and that a lot of the European travelers come over here to see where the cowboys and Indians were. Colorado Tourism will start giving us more information and more data coming up too on who's going to be coming out this direction. We're also talking to a company on the Front Range that does international tourism, and we're discussing with them being able to take their visitors and their tourists and bring them out here as well. So we're kind of collaborating. This is the time to really think outside the box, and that's why I'm so excited about these packages that we're putting together with the local vendors and the other local companies here, because with all of us working together, we can bring this tourism back and bring it come even stronger than it was before.
You've been listening to Local Motion, a weekly news feature on KVNF that runs every Tuesday at 6 p.m. and rebroadcasts on Saturday at 10. Thank you for listening. I'm Kate Redmond.